Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Samach Beis, and we will begin on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody made a neder at Shiyavur Hakayetz, he's not allowed to drink wine or whatever until the summer is over. The Mishnah said that what that means is at Shiyichbulu HaMiktsoyus. Says the Gemara, what does at Shiyichbulu HaMiktsoyus mean? That they had these knives, these special folding knives, with which they would trim and cut the figs off the ground. And the Braisa teaches us, until most of these knives are folded away, most of the work of picking the figs has been completed, that's when it's considered Yavra Kayetz. And as the Rishonim point out, represents both a Kula and a Chumra. On one hand, let's say I did not put away my knife yet. I didn't finish working. But most people did. It's considered that we already came to that time. On the other hand, let's say I am a person that did already finish. I finished earlier than most others. But most people did not finish yet. It's not considered that the knives have been put away. It's Yavra Kayetz. Until we look at the entire city and what is the situation of the majority. Says the Braisa, once we come to a time that most of these knives have been folded, if I go to someone's field and I pick his figs, it's not considered as if Chas stole figs from him. As we know, the halacha is something that's hefker doesn't have obligation to take trumas and maisers from. These fruits are considered that they're hefker. Again, the Rishonim point out, it's only going to, and Potter from Meiser, only if they weren't completed, that they didn't have completion. But if the fruits were completed, and then we say it's Hefker, it's too late, because they already had a Chi of Trumas and Meisers. Says the Gemara, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Ikla Hu Asra. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda came to a certain city, Bizman Shok Bularoiv and Mekzayas, where it was already the time that most of these knives have been folded. So Rebbe have a kochel. Rebbe ate from the figs. They're hefker. Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda loy ochel. Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda did not eat. And the Mefarshim explained what was the machloikis between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. The machloikis was if holchem b'mammon acha haroiv. Do we follow the majority when it comes to financial issues? Rebbe held that we do, and therefore he said that these fruits are hefker and they may be eaten without the owner's express permission. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He held that Ein Holchem B'Mammon Acha Roiv, and just because most of the knives had been folded away, that doesn't give us a right to eat these fruits without the owner's permission. I saw another pshat along the same lines that perhaps Rebbe halachically would have agreed with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and he would be careful not to eat without permission. But he wanted to teach the people a lesson that the halach is that once the knives are folded, fruits may be eaten. So he forgoed his own chumrah, that he should be careful not to eat, in order to teach this lesson to the people, that once the knives are folded, halachically it's permitted to be eaten. Asamaroin, and the owners of these fields where the figs were growing, said, Amalhu amaylai achlu rabbonim. Why are you not eating? It's a time that most of the knives have been passed, have been folded away. Says the Gemara, V'apikein lo'ochel Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda still didn't eat. Because Rabbi Yosef Yehuda was able to discern, K'sov m'shum sanyas milsa hu the comer. As the Mefarshim explained, and Rabbi Shah explains it this way. When these people came and said, everybody should be allowed to eat, they didn't really mean what they were saying. They were saying it sarcastically. Because if they really meant that everybody should be allowed to eat it, they should have said, why don't you eat it? It's hefker. Why do they say it's a time that most of the knives are folded away? They were being sarcastic. We're really not happy with the people, with you eating this without our permission. But we know that this is the halacha. Once Rabbi Yossi heard this, he felt vindicated in not eating it. Because he felt that you shouldn't eat something, even if, again, it's halachically permitted, if the owners are not happy and are upset about the people eating it. And in fact, the Rishash makes an interesting diuk in the Gemara. He said that these owners said to them, "Amai lo achli rabbonon. Why don't both of you eat?" But that's not true. Rebbe was eating. It was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that wasn't eating. So why is this speaking to the plural? So some say that just at the moment they came, Rebbe wasn't eating either. But the pshat is as follows. Rebbe halachically knew that he's allowed to eat. He learned the Gemara. However, once Rebbe recognized that the owners were unhappy, so he certainly wasn't going to eat from these fruits, even though perhaps he was mutter al pi din to eat those fruits. And the Pesukim, in fact, use this Gemara to teach us lahalocha lemaisa, that if someone offers us something, it's our obligation to make sure they really mean it, or they just saying it because they have to say it, or they think they have to say it. I once saw there was somebody was asked to be a sandik by bris, a big schus to be a sandik by bris, and the Rav refused. So his Talmidim asked him, "Why are you refusing? It's such a wonderful kibbud." So he said, "I understood, I recognized that the person really didn't want. He felt that he had to give me this honor to ask me. If somebody doesn't want to give you the kavod, it's very important not to take it." Says the Gemara. Hadeng Rav Chama bar Bchina iklahu asra. Rav Chama bar Chanina came to a certain place. Bizman shok b'loriv ektsois. And it was a time that most of the knives were folded away, that were saying that you're allowed to eat the figs without permission. Have a kochel, and therefore he ate the figs. Yov l'shame, but he gave his attendant to eat, lo yochel. So all the mefarshim asked the obvious question. The shamus is more religious than the Rebbe? So mefarshim explained the Gemara in the following way. The Rebbe knew the halacha, Rav Chama knew the halacha that we're learning, that if the knives are already folded, the fruit is hefker, and everybody could eat it. The shamus, on the other hand, was receiving these fruits from Rav Chama, who was his employer, as part of his salary. And he felt that if somebody receives fruit as salary, it makes the achila called an achilas kva. And if you eat achilas kva, you have to take trumas and maestras. That's why he refused to eat these fruits that the trumas and maestras were not removed from. So he said to him, "Amalei lecha echo, you don't have to be concerned. Because kach amali Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef Mishum Oviv, hook will arrive at Mektsayis, once most of the knives are folded up, with Taurus Mishum Gezel, with Taurus Mishum Meiser, these are fruit that are considered completely hefker, and there's no Truma Meiser obligation." Says the Gemara, Rav Tafan Ashkechei Hahu Gavra, Bezman Shehuk Bela Mektsayis, the Ochla. Rav Tafan came to the field. It was a time when most of the knives had been folded. Rav Tafan certainly knew our Gemara, and he ate from the figs. And the person who owned the field got very upset at him. And what he did was, achse b'saka, he went and put Rav Tarfon in the sack, v'shakle, and he carried him, v'amtei l'mishde b'nara. And he wanted to throw Rav Nahara into the river, Rav Tarfon into the river, for taking his fruits without permission. Omaloi, so Rav Tarfon was nervous, and he proclaimed in the bag, oiloi l'tarfon shezeh hargoi. He said, "You're going to kill Tarfon." As soon as the person heard what he's doing, it's the great Rebbe Tarfon that he's treating in such a way. Shamahu Gavra, the person heard what Rebbe Tarfon said. Shafke v'arik. He dropped him. Machlokes, who ran? Some say that it was this person that ran away out of great embarrassment. Another say it was Rav Tarfon that ran away because he was worried that the person may change his mind and pick him up again. So he just ran not to get into this problem again. Rav Tarfon for the rest of his life was very upset about what happened. Omar, and he said, "Oili shenishtamashti bekisra shel Torah. I used Torah, I used my name Rav Tarfon, representing the great Talmud Chacham, for my own personal gain." And he was very upset that he had used Torah for such a way. Farshim point out that Rav Tarfon was also a Kohen. But Rav Tarfon knew that it wasn't the kahuna that saved him. Because kahuna is something that you don't earn. It's something you're born with. We know that a person can be a Kohen, but his children won't necessarily be Kohanim. It matters whom he marries. And kahuna is not as relevant b'zmanenu as it was b'zman Beis Hamikdash Kayim. Tyra, the Keser Shel Tyra is forever, and that's why he was upset that he used it for his own personal use. Because Amar Rabbi B'chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mishtamish B'Kisrei Shel Tyra, whoever uses Tyra for personal gain, Nekrim and Oilim, is going to be taken from the world. And it can be taken at any time. And that's why the Mefarshim say, Rav Tarfon Ha'imitzar Kol Miyomav. Every day he was worried that today may be the day that I'm going to receive a punishment for using the Keser Shel Tyra. And what was his Kav Chaymer? His Kav Chaymer was from Balshetzer. Ma Balshetzer Shnishtamish B'Kli Kodesh Shnasu Kli Chol. Balshetzer took the vessels and the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash that Nebuchadnezzar had taken and made a banquet and used those utensils as the vessels and utensils that were used at the banquet. And the story goes, as we learn in Navi, that as he was doing this, a sign came on the wall of the banquet hall of a hand. And nobody knew what it meant. So they said, call Daniel. And Daniel will interpret it. And what Daniel said it meant was that because you had used the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be punished. And that very night he was killed. Even though, Shneimer Ba'al Pritzim Chalaluha, the Pasuk says regarding the Beis HaMikdash, that once it was desecrated, it loses its Kedusha. Kimet Sheparzim Nasu Chol, Nekav Boilim, still Balshetzer, was killed, as we just said. The Ksiv Bo Balayla, that very night, Kotel Balshetzer. Balshetzer was killed. So the Farshim asked, why was he killed? If the Pasuk saying, Ubo Ba Pritzim Chalaluha, that they lose their Kedusha, so why was Balshetzer killed? So the Farshim answer, one answer is that even if they lose the Kedusha, there's still the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash that should not be used for drinking at a regular banquet. Another teretz that I saw is that for Klal Yisrael, who we have discussed many times, the concept of Mi'ila, so we're not allowed to use something that's Hegdish for our own use. So if it loses the Kedusha, the Dinim of Mi'ila are no longer applicable. But here we're talking about Balshetzer, a non-Jewish king. He never has a right to use the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. I actually saw the Mefarshim say that this concept that the Gemara now teaches us, Uvaba Pritzim V'Chalalua, is used for some interesting questions. The Gemara says, a very famous Gemara, that most of the Beis HaMikdash was actually burnt on Asar B'Av. So the Gemara asks, if most of it is burnt on Asar B'Av, so why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? So Gemara says we follow Tchilas Purnasai. We follow the beginning, Tchilas Purnasai Iker. The beginning of the problem, the beginning of the burning is what we follow. But now we could say a different teretz from the Mefarshim say. As soon as the Beis HaMikdash began being burnt, Uvo Bo Pritzim Chalalua, it lost its Kedusha. So what was burning on Yud Ba'av wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. That's not what we mourn for. We mourn for a Beis HaMikdash. On Tisha B'Av it was still a Beis HaMikdash. That's what we fast on Tisha B'Av. Another teretz, Shaul Meshev says this fort. The Gemara says, a few places in Shas, the mashkin bay mit b'chayin dochlin, that any liquids that are found at the Beis HaMikdash always remain tahor. So the question asked the Shaul Meshev, so what's the nice Hanukkah that we found that pach shemen? Any oil is tachyin in the Beis HaMikdash, says the Shaul Meshev. Our Gemara says, Uvobo Pritzim V'chilaluhu, that once they came to Beis HaMikdash, they desecrated it, it loses the Kedusha. When is there a halacha that the liquids that are found in the Beis HaMikdash are tahor? That's only when it has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. But Uvobo Pritzim V'chilaluhu doesn't have the Kedusha, and the halacha that the liquids don't become tamei is not there. So Rav Tarfon said, if that's somebody who uses the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, who don't have their Kedusha anymore, was punished. Hamashtamish b'kisrei shel Torah. Somebody uses the Torah. Shuchai v'kayim lo'olam. Torah is forever. Alachas kama v'kama. So much so, more so that you're not allowed to use it for your own personal use. And therefore, this is the basis of the psak of the Rambam, that nobody's supposed to use the kisrei shel Torah. Nobody's supposed to use Torah to earn a living. Even though the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam only means somebody who's able to sustain himself and to survive without being funded. But if somebody can't learn without being paid, he certainly should learn. Rav Moshe explains that the Kesef Mishnah not only is speaking to the person who can't afford, but even if a person says, I'm going to try to skimp and save, not to have to survive off the community because of our Gemara, a Mishtanj B'Kisha Shal Torah, Rav Moshe says he's wrong. Rav Moshe says, because experience has shown that that person will not be able to remain in Avodas HaKodesh long term if he's not going to get paid. We all need to live. And his being involved in Avodas HaKodesh and learning is what's most important. The Mishnah Brura quotes an interesting Shailas HaTshuvas Divrei Shmuel that says that a person who's learning and needs to be supported should take. The Mishnah Brura doesn't quote the whole tshuva. If you look at the tshuva, he says the following. He says a person who can't make it on his own should take from the community. He gives three conditions. He says, first of all, he shouldn't take an exorbitant salary. He should only take what he needs to live. Number two, he says, it's better to take from a communal fund than to take from individuals. And the third thing he says is, a person who is living off the community, doing avodas hakodesh, learning and living off the community, should try to give back to the community. He should do something for the public good, Torah, avodah, gemilas chasadim, that the community should benefit in turn from him also. And that's why the Mefarshim say that it's important to learn Torah l'shma, otherwise it's mishtamish v'kisra shel Torah. Even though I did see the Nefesh HaChaim speaks at great length about the importance of learning Torah l'shma and what Torah l'shma can accomplish, but he does say that we know the Gemara says Metoch Shaloi l'shma, Bo l'shma, and he says from Rav Fol Hamburg, Gevaldig Zach, what's Pshat Metoch Shaloi l'shma, Bo l'shma? He says when a person starts to learn, it's very hard to know that he's learning l'shem Shemayim. But then after he becomes more proficient in learning, he does come to learn l'shma. So he says, all those years and all those hours that were learned Shaloi L'Shma, once a person comes to the Madrega of learning L'Shma, they all transform into Torah L'Shma. I also saw, since it's so important to learn Torah L'Shma, I looked for some etzes, how could a person come to the Madrega of Torah L'Shma? So I saw two pieces of advice given. One piece of advice is that when a person learns, he should learn not just that he's learning a Gemara, but he should learn the Gemara that it should have influence on what he on the way he lives, whether because he learns the Gemara or other limudim, lahaloch, lamaisa, to know what he's supposed to do and what he's not supposed to do, or it should influence the way he lives. That's a way to come to Torah L'Shma. Avni Nezer says that a way to come to Torah L'Shma, interesting Avni Nezer, is that if he learns Torah with a geshmak, if he enjoys his learning and he gets into the learning, that is a way that the Eibishter helps that he comes to the Madrega of Torah L'Shma. On the other hand, the terrible issue of Torah Shaloi L'Shma. So first of all, I saw a very, very sharp mashal from Reb Yisrael Salanter, how he considers a person who learns Torah Shaloi L'Shma. He says a person who learns Torah Shaloi L'Shma is a person, he compares him to a person who takes Gemaras, and he has to reach something on top of the shelf, and he climbs on top of the Gemaras to reach what's on top of the shelf, stands on the Gemaras. That's what he calls Torah Shaloi L'Shma. And then I saw, very interesting, I never knew the basis for this minig. There are many people that have a custom that they don't print Sforim that they write as long as they're alive. Why? So the Mefarshim explain that really Torah Shabbat Peh we know is not really supposed to be recorded in writing. Rebbe was the first one that wrote Mishnayis B'Ksav. Eis Lasas L'Hashem Haferet Torah Secha. He was concerned that the Torah would be forgotten. So the Mefarshim explained, the Paiskim explained. So if a person records Torah Shabbat Peh, he has to be certain that he's only doing it because his intent is pure. People need this Torah, otherwise it will not be learned, it will be forgotten. So he says, if a person prints a sefer, can he be 100% sure that he has no personal, some personal need, personal gain, whether because of COVID, maybe he thinks he's going to make money on printing a sefer. So there's no heter of fighting Divrei Torah, Shaloi Lishma, and that's why people would be careful not to print Sforim while they were alive, but it could have these kavanas.
Why is there a
tarp
so consumed with succulents in the bushes?
Oh, we're going to get to it. Says the Gemara, Rav Tarfon, Kivin de Ki Ochel. When was Rav Tarfon eating these figs? The Hukbal arrived in Ktsoyas Hava. It was in a time when the knives were already folded. Amait Sarehu Gavra. Why did the person tell him? Why was the person so upset with him? And as the Rosh explains the Gemara, presumably everybody knew this halacha. So all Rav Tarfon should have done is told him that this is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Mishum dahu have ganvelei anve kulishatam. This person wasn't upset really about the figs. And we're going to explain the Gemara the way the Ran explains the Gemara. Because Rav Tarfon, if it was only the figs weren't that expensive. They were hefka figs. How much could they be worth? He was a wealthy man. He would have taken out the few dollars from his pocket and he would have paid him for the figs in order to avoid this whole problem. What happened here was that this person also had grapes in his field. And somebody was stealing grapes from this field the whole year. And when he caught Rav Tarfon stealing the figs, he assumed that you must be the grape robber. That already, to pay back for all those grapes, was already more of an expensive proposition. The Kivin, the Ashkel Rav Tarfon, when this person caught Rav Tarfon, Sover Haina the Gavin. He is the person that must be stealing the grapes. Says the Gemara, Ihochem Mait Sara Nafshe. So why was he upset? The person wanted to harm him, and he was just trying to save himself. Says the Gemara, Mishum Rav Tarfon Asher Godel Haver. Tarfon was a very wealthy person. Even if it would have cost him a lot to appease the man who accused him falsely of stealing the grapes, Rav Tarfon felt, this is the way the Ran explains the Gemara, that it's better to take the money out of his pocket, even if it means a lot of money, rather than to be mishtamish b'kisra shel Torah. Tanya. The pasuk says, L'havis Hashem elokecha, l'shmoy b'kol adav chabay. Shloyoyma odom, ekri shiakrini chacham. I'm going to learn so I should get a fancy title. Ekri shiakrini rebbe. Ashtan shei zokim v'eshev yeshiva. I'm going to teach in order that I should have a job giving a shir in yeshiva. Elemed mahava v'soifa kavod lovay. Learn from love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the kavod's going to come. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Here the person, the Gemara teaches us that you're supposed to learn L'Shem Shemayim. And then the Gemara says, the Seifa Kavod Lovei, that the Kavod's coming. You're not supposed to think about the Kavod. So one teretz I saw is that the Gemara doesn't mean that you should think about the Kavod that's going to come. What the Gemara says is that if you learn, the Kavod will come by itself, even though that's not what you're thinking about. Another teretz that I saw to this kasha is that there are two types of Kavod. This Kavod in this world, where people give us honor, that's Kavod HaMaduma, that's not real Kavod. Kavod means in the Olam HaEmes, where a person who spent his life living his life the way he was supposed to live, that's the real Kavod. So that's Pshat what the Gemara is saying. Soif HaKavod Lover, not the fake Kavod of this world, the real Kavod in the Olam HaEmes. Another Pshat that I saw, beautiful Pshat, is the Pasuk says, Oirech Yomim B'yaminoi, B'smayla Oishav HaKavod. Says the Gemara, L'ma Minim Ba. People who learn Torah L'shma, they have Oirech Yomim. They're worthy of a long life. L'ma Smilim Ba. People who learn Torah Shalai L'shma, they only have Oishav HaKavod. So the Gemara sounds like this. If you're going to learn Torah L'shma, you're going to have a long life. If you're going to have a long life, there's going to be plenty of time for the Kavod to come. Another teretz that I saw is that a person who really learns Torah L'shma recognizes what's important and what's not important. As it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Mechubed, who is really a person of honor, HaMechabed Es HaBris, who gives kavod to others. Somebody who learns Torah L'shma, Seif HaKavod, by him kavod will be nothing. It'll be Seif, it'll be the end. Because what will be the real kavod to him? Not receiving kavod. To him, real kavod will be giving kavod. Says the Gemara. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Koshem al etzbo secha, Kosvem aluach libecha. The Torah should be on your fingers and on your heart. So Mefarshim asks, what is the Gemara trying to add by bringing this pasuk from Mishlei? Mefarshim say what the lesson of this Gemara is, that Talmud Torah should permeate our lives. Talmud Torah should be on our fingers. Fingers represent when we work. A person says, I'm working now. Torah has to influence the way we work. Aluach libecha, I'm sleeping, there's nothing in my heart. Torah should be permeate the way we think. The way we live should be a life of pleasantness, of Torah. Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok Oymer, Asei Dvorim L'Shem Polam, a person should do things for Kvod Shemayim, V'dababam L'Shmam, and speak Torah L'Shma. So the Gra says, how is a person able to do this? How is a person able to come to Madrega to do everything L'Shem Polam? So he says a very simple piece of advice. He says, if a person would recognize that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Miyad Damani Vashalim, that everything we have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, that will be the way that a person will be able to live his life L'Shem Shemayim. Al Tasem Atar L'Sgadalbam, don't use Torah as a way to make yourself great. Al Tasem Kardim L'Sgadalbam, don't use it as a shovel. As we learned before, Kavachomer. Maba Shetzer, Shlenishtamish Elba Kli Kodesh, Shanas Kli Chol, Nekim and Oilam, Hamishtamish Bekisra Shal Taira, Alakas Kam Vakama. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Shorel Inish, a person, however, is allowed to let himself be known, Ledue Nafshe, to let people know who he is. A person comes to a community, and they don't know he's a Talmud Chacham. He's allowed to let the people know that a person is allowed to let the people know that he's a Talmud Chacham. They have no way of knowing. The Ksif, V'yavdecha Yoreis Hashem in Uraf. This is a parasha in Melachim. Achav, who we know is a very wicked king, really was anxious to meet Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi reveals himself to Avadja, who was the administrator of Achav's palace. And Eliyahu HaNavi tells him, tell Achav that I'm prepared to meet him here, this and this time, and this and this place. And Avadya tells Eliyahu, given that you've avoided meeting him, I'm concerned that you're going to not be there. And I'm a good person. V'avdecha yoreis Hashem min u'rav. I'm a good person from when I was a young person. I'm a Yerushmaim. Why? I'm worried that if you won't be there, Achav, being such a terrible Russia, will kill me. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. This was a Shaila Pekuach Nefesh. Avadya was worried that what Achav will do to him. Why? For Pekuach Nefesh, everything is mutar. So Mefarshim answered that he added one more word. If all Avadya would have said was, Ani Yoreis Hashem, it's Pekuach Nefesh. Why do you have to add the words Minu'urav for when I was a young man? That's only because he was concerned that Eliyahu didn't know who he was. And you're allowed to tell somebody who you are when you're not known. And in fact, the Mefarshim uses, the Shem Tzion Balacha uses this to answer a question. Why is the Gemara quoting a pasuk from Melachim, from Avadya? We find that Yosef says, Esolokim Aniyari. So we see that Yosef called himself a Yerushimayim. But Yosef didn't add the word Menu'urav. The question here is, why did Achav have a right to add the extra word that seemingly is superfluous? And must be, because Shor Leila Inish, Ledui Nafshe Besed Delayida. There's a Machloikas Rishayim, how to understand this Gemara. Is it Shor Leila Inish, that a person may publicize who he is in a place where he's not known? Or does he have an obligation? Chiyiv. Some say it's permitted, some say it's obligatory. Says the Gemara, Al-Kasha Reb Tarfon. So if you're allowed to do it, why didn't Reb Tarfon do it? Answers the Gemara, Dasha Galhai, as we said before, he was a very wealthy person. And the Ran goes on to explain, since Reb Tarfon recognized that this was a person, who the fact that he said to him he's a Talmud Chacham really didn't mean much to that person, Reb Tarfon shouldn't have said that to the person. Reb Tarfon should have better not be Mishtamish Bekisha Shal Torah. There's an incredible Vart from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says, let's say a person is a Talmud Chacham, and he's known to be a Talmud Chacham, but he wants that he should have Talmidim. So is he allowed to publicize who he is, that he should be able to get Talmidim to come listen to his shiur? Says the Ksav Sofer, a person has no right to do that. Only under very limited circumstances may someone publicize that he's a Talmud Chacham. In fact, there's a story from his father, the Chassam Sofer, when he was offered the Rabbanus of Presburg. He was living at that time in Frankfurt. So one of his colleagues told him, Presburg was a very prominent city, and it was obviously a Rabbanus that he wanted. So one of his friends suggested, tremendous Talmud Chacham, that he should write a Chibur and send it to Presburg to impress the people. So he says, that is Mishtamish B'Kisra Shel Torah. He says, what he already has written from before, he'll send. But to prepare something specially, he won't do. Says the Gemara. Rav Rami. Ksiv Avdecha Yaris Hashem Menurav. That he was never, that he said who he is. The Ksiv Ya'alucha Zarv L'Picha. That you should not praise yourself. Answer the Gemara, Haba Asud Yedilei, Haba Asud Yedilei. In a place that you're known, you're not supposed to publicize who you are. In a place where you're not known, you're supposed to publicize who you are. However, there's a Gevalda Gevart from the Zohar. The Zohar says, Nechsem Saif explains the Zohar this way. Why did the Pasuk say, Lo Ya'alucha Picha, don't praise yourself. What's Pshat Ya'alucha Zor V'loy Picha? So he says, Pshat in the Pasuk is like this, Ya'alucha Zor. You should really be praised, not by yourself, by others. But v'loy, if there's nobody that's saying who you are, then picha, you have no choice to say it yourself. However, there's a Mori de Gevart from the Shin of a Rebbe. He says, yes, we're in a place that nobody knows who I am, and I need to publicize who I am. So he says, what's pshat that the pasuk saying? Yeah, that there's nobody to publicize, but don't come in and say, everybody should know, I'm a Talmud Chacham. What he should do is picha, open your mouth, and say Divrei Torah. And that will be the way the people will come to recognize who you are. But then I saw an incredible vart. He says, let's say you're in a place, you're a Talmud Chacham, and people know you, but nobody recognizes you, nobody gives you the proper respect. So Mefarshim say, it's a sign min Hashemayim that you are a Talmud Chacham, but there's something wrong with your learning. And that's why you're not getting the proper recognition for it. And instead of being upset, why am I not getting the proper recognition, you should look at yourself. If you're such a Talmud Chacham, why aren't you getting the recognition? There must be something wrong. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Shara Leila Tzuvim Rabbonin, a person who's a Talmud Chacham may say Tzuvim Rabbonin Anah. I'm a Talmud Chacham, as we just learned. Shara Leila Tigroi Bereshi. The halacha is that a din Torah, we normally have to follow first come, first serve. But if a Talmud Chacham is online, he goes up front. Machlokes Rishonim, why? Some say because his time is important. He can go back to learning. Others say because it's Kavod HaTorah. It's Kavod HaTorah that this person should be, that he should not have to stand online. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim have a very interesting Shaila. Let's say there's a line in the bank, anywhere. There's a line, and a Talmud Chacham walks in. What's the halacha? Does the Talmud Chacham get to cut to the front of the line? First of all, there's a shaila who's considered Talmud Chacham for this. So the Paiskim say it doesn't have to be, it has to be a person who's Tarasu im Nasai, who spends most of his time learning, even if he's a person that works. But if his main occupation is learning, he's considered Talmud Chacham. That's the way most Paiskim hold. So I saw from Rav Ozner a very interesting psak. He says it could well be that it's only in a situation where it's not a situation of time is money. That if, let's say there's a line of people waiting at the bank. And while they're waiting, they can't be working. And they're not earning. Or they can't be at their business. So there's no heter for a Talmud Chacham. When the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham has a right to go to the head of the line, it's not when it's at somebody else's financial loss. The Paiskim also say that even if the Gemara is saying that a Talmud Chacham could go to the front of the line, that doesn't mean he should take that right. Maybe it's nicer that he should stand on line like everyone else. The Ksiv of a Nei Kohanim, David Kohanim Hayu. Ma Kohen Neutel Barosh, just like a Kohen, and the Gemara will describe the halacha in a moment, gets a first shear, Af Talmud Chacham Neutel Barosh. Says the Gemara of a Kohen Menolon. How do we know that Kohen indeed gets a Chelik Barosh? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says regarding Kohanim, Vikidashtoi, Kislechem Hashem Alekechu Makrif. Vitanid Brev Yishmol, Vikidashto L'chol Dovish V'Gedusha. The Kohen comes first. So before we go into the Gemara, first of all, is a machlokes rishonim. When we say that a kohen gets the first shear, does that mean Davish B'Kedusha. Some of the examples we're going to have involve davening and learning. What does it mean in everything? Most Rishonim say that it means not just Divrei Kedusha. The other Rishonim say it means Davka Davish B'Kedusha. There's a Machloikis. Is this a Din Midaraisa or a Din Midrabonon? Machloikis Rishonim. Mr. Brewer says that even Kohanim nowadays, we have to be careful to follow what the Gemara is going to teach us. And then there's a question, may a Kohen, and not only a Kohen, but a Talmud Chacham, give up that covet? So Mefarshim say the following parameters. There are certain things that a Kohen gets because they represent Kedushas HaKohuna, not the covet HaKohuna. For example, a Kohen is not allowed to marry certain women. That the Kohen can say, you know what, I'm Moichel. That represents his Kedusha, and he can't be Moichel. Also, something that represents a bezoyin, something that's an embarrassment, a Kohen may now not allow himself to be embarrassed, because again, it's a bezoyin to the Kohuna. However, something that only represents pure honor, a Kohen may forego that honor. He says, it's my honor to honor someone else, specifically if that person is a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara gives us examples. What does this mean? It means, Leftayach Rishon, he gets the first Aliyah by Kriyas HaTorah. Although I did see a very interesting psak, Machloikas HaPoiskim. We know the halacha is that, let's say there's a shul where there's no Levi, but there is a Kohen. If the Kohen is called up for the first Aliyah, he's again called up for the second Aliyah. So the Poiskim say, under those circumstances, it may be that a Kohen should walk out. Because it's a question of brachas and tzricha. He's going to make the exact same brachas, birchas atayra, once after the other. It may be that for kavod atayra, kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he shouldn't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. If the Kohen recognizes before he gets the Aliyah that it's going to be a situation where he gets the Aliyah twice, there are places going to suggest that he should walk out. It's machloikas. Ulevarach Rishon, birchas hamazon, we should ask the Kohen to lead. Little mana yafarishin, the number of pshatim. One is if they're giving out portions, the Kohen is the first to get the portion. The Kohen is the first to choose if there are a number of portions on the table. They're not always the exact same. Anybody with children knows that. He could get to choose which one is the first. Another pshat is that if there are two partners, a Yisrael and a Kohen, and they're dividing up their assets, the Kohen has a right to choose which portion he gets first. Amarava. Sharalei letzuvim rabbonim, a Talmud Chacham may say, lo yahavdin akarga. I'm a Talmud Chacham, and I don't have to give taxes. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is, it's not referring to a situation where people don't know he's a Talmud Chacham. They know he's a Talmud Chacham, but the people don't know that Talmud Chachamim are exempt from paying the taxes. Because the Pasuk says, regarding Kairish, when he allowed the Jews to return to Israel, menad debol of a holuch, they're not obligated to pay taxes. And a person could say, I'm in that category, I'm tax exempt. The king got a certain portion, it's a percentage. It was a hat tax. What Arnuna means. Some say Arnuna means when the king would go on trips, so trips were expensive, so there's a special tax levied to pay for the expense of the trip. Another pshat is that the king had a right to make himself a partner in every business, and he had a percentage in every business. Vemarova, Shara Leilat Sovim Rabbanon Lameimer, a Tam Chacham may say, after the Nurano, they had an Avodah Zarah that they worshipped the fire. A Tam Chacham may say, I am a priest of that Avodah Zarah, Allah Yahavna Karga, and therefore I should be exempt from paying taxes. My Tama, Lavruchi Ari Minei Kamer. He's only saying it to get out of paying the taxes. And there's a lot to say in the Rishonim on this Gemara. Again, the first thing that the Meiri tells us is that what he's doing has to be legal. He can't do it just if it's a way of not paying taxes, which is illegal. So the Mefarshim say, why is he allowed? Why is he allowed to say it? He's allowed to say it because we are all servants of the fire. Because the Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Eish Achloi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a burning fire. So when he's saying it, he's not technically saying something that's wrong. In fact, there's a Machlokes Rishonim Perhaps it's only by this Avodah Zarah fire, which is a way of explaining what he said. But let's say the Avodah Zarah is not fire, that we want, can't say it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would not be allowed to say it. That's one shayla. So the Ran says, who is the Gemara talking to? So the Ran says, certainly people who are not Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to say something which is maybe technically correct, even though it's not perfectly correct. The Chiddush of our Gemara, says the Ran, is even Talmidei Chachamim, who have to be very careful to avoid Achila Hashem, are still allowed to do it. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. The Rosh says just the opposite. A Talmud Chacham, who knows the parameters of the Halacha, and knows what one may say and what one may not say, could say this because he knows to where it's mutter and where it's not mutter. And a Ma'aretz, who is not so careful and is not so proficient in the nuances of the Halacha, cannot start with these Atayrim because it could become a slippery slope. Rav Ashi Havlehu Ava. Rav Ashi had this forest. Savdei Lebei Nura. So he sold it to the church that used this wood for fire. Omlei Ravinel Rav Ashi, Hoyekel Lefnei Ivel Esita Mechshol. Isn't there a problem that you're causing them to serve Avodah Zarah? Omlei Roiv Eitzem Lasokin Etnu. They're not really using most of the wood for Avodah Zarah. They're primarily using the wood for firewood, and that's not Avodah Zarah. So firstly, the Chazon Ish says, from here we see that Lefnei Ivel Esita Mechshol even applies to Goyim. Because we have to be careful to avoid, he explains it this way, that there should be aveiros done in the world. So if a goy is not a worship of Avodah Zarah, we have to make sure to do whatever we can to prevent him from worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Mefarshim ask, there's no lifnei evil leisite michshol, only in a case where, if not for me, the person cannot do the aveira. So if I won't sell him the wood, somebody else will sell the wood. Why is there lifnei evil leisite michshol? So some explained that he had a monopoly on wood. And without him, they could have never had enough wood. But others say that even if there is no Isidor Raisa, there is an Isidor Rabbonon, or Mesayei L'Dei Avera. The Midrabbonon, even if it's not a situation Lifnei Iver, we have to do everything in our power to prevent somebody, not to help somebody do an Avera. And if this wood is going to be used for Avodah Zarah, we have the responsibility to make sure that it should not be used for Avodah Zarah.
Ellie.
Yeah.
I got